I think we're just getting started.
Hey everyone, what is going on? And welcome to episode 4 of 1-1 Gaming Squadron podcast. I'm your host, Phil. And today, I wanted to kind of share my opinion about the Activision Blizzard King acquisition that Microsoft has completed and everything. And I know a lot of people have probably felt like this story or news has been so overdone, but I just wanted to talk about my thoughts of it, how, you know, my reaction to it and what I think could be beneficial to the acquisition. So let's go ahead and just, maybe pass half hour of your time and listen to me and my opinion. And, you know, if you have any thoughts about it yourself, go ahead and reach out to me. All right. Now, another change in it is that I am actually drinking something different. Still alcohol, but it's mead. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with honey wine, but that's pretty much what it is. It's made from honey. And so there actually is a winery, meadery here located in Cambridge, Minnesota, known as Jaybird's Wine. And they've been around since 1984, and it is family owned. They are on their son and grandson are actually the ones operating it now. But they actually have over a dozen meads at the winery, and that's this is the place that my wife hit up a couple weeks ago, and so she brought back a sampler pack and also a growler of one of their meads. And one of the things that I was reading about them was the fact that they are the sole supplier of mead to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. And here, the Renaissance Festival is a big deal. It goes on for a month, and just everybody goes. They have a lot of fun. I could just only imagine how much mead has to be made to supply the Renaissance Festival. The fact that people go there and want to drink. So that's got to be a lot of mead that they're producing and stuff like that. They must make a killing too. Like, probably enough money to last them for the rest of the year if they don't sell any other mead. But the mead I am drinking is actually called Egyptian, and is made with hibiscus honey and lemon tea that actually was widely used in the Middle Eastern countries. And smelling it, I mean, it definitely smells sweet, kind of fruity. I don't know if that's a kind of like a berry, but does kind of smell like a wine, like that kind of sweetness of a wine. Let's give it a taste. Ooh, that's good. That's definitely sweet. It's probably that hibiscus honey, but man, the lemon, you can taste a little bit of lemon. It tastes almost like a raspberry or kind of like a berry flavor at the end. But then the color has this really nice kind of like amber color that kind of like a dark, almost like a, not like a blackberry, but a dark berry. Oh, like a dark cherry color. Yeah, this is good. Well, yeah, I can see why people like it. All right, folks. Are we ready to do this? And I have been listening to other podcasts, listening to other shows, and reading articles about the acquisition. And I mean, I'm glad that it's over. I mean, I didn't realize it would take this long. I know that the UK pretty much blocked it, and the US was trying to block it, but, you know, finally the US was like, nope, we're moving forward. And then when that happened, they basically went back and catered to the UK and sold off their cloud business to Ubisoft and everything, which I'd be curious to see how that's going to work out down the road. But now it's done. Microsoft officially owns Activision, Blizzard, and King. And I am actually glad that they bought them. And I know some people are probably like, why? That means they're going to have a monopoly. Well, I actually do believe Phil Spencer when he says that he is actually going to keep making games for the platforms. And listen to Phil Spencer interview a lot. He is as we all know, is a gamer. He loves games, and I'm sure he has not only just Xbox, he probably has a PlayStation, he probably has a Switch. I'm sure he's probably played all the other games on all systems. I mean, the guy's even gone out and said congratulations to, you know, Sony for launching God of War Ragnarok. Can't wait to play it, stuff like that. And he's just been a very all-around great guy when it comes to games. And for him, he knows that if he keeps a lot of that stuff exclusive, then his saying that if everybody plays, everybody wins will not be true. No, wait, if we all play, we all win. Something like that. But with him being at the helm of the Xbox and everything, the gaming, I think that his word is still going to stay. Now, there are probably going to be some Activision Blizzard, probably more Activision titles that maybe start becoming exclusive to Xbox or PC under the Xbox game studios. And a lot of stuff they probably will still make for the PlayStation and Nintendo. The one thing I just did not understand is why would Sony only sign a 10-year deal to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation? They should have been like, we also want Call of Duty, but we also want the other games in their catalog to come there. Because now Microsoft can basically be like, cool, here's your Call of Duty, but Crash Bandicoot coming to Xbox, Spyro coming to Xbox. There's so many, I'm going to go over a list of remakes or remasters I'd like to see come now that they own it. Because, I mean, Activision Blizzard had so many good IPs that they just stopped making. Like, I loved Blizzard back in the day when Warcraft came out, StarCraft. God, those games were amazing. I mean, I used to play StarCraft all the damn time. And then when the second one came out, I thought that was so much better and just great. And I did play WoW for a while, World of Warcraft. And eventually I broke off from it, but it was still a fun game, still time-consuming for me, but I never got super addicted into it like some people have. But yeah, there's just so many great games that Blizzard could have made by now if it wasn't for Activision saying, we just want to monetize you and just keep making wild stuff. Because, I don't know, I'm just glad that now Bobby Kotick is no longer at the helm. These studios have more creative freedom, especially when I read a article when Phil Spencer basically flew out to Blizzard, and after the acquisition was complete, they flew out there. They wanted to meet everybody, and I heard that Blizzard had come up with a PowerPoint presentation about what projects they're working on, stuff like that. And you know, they're all trying to appease him by saying, "Hey, look, here's what we got," and everything. And he flies out there, and they're like, "Hey, we want to show you all the stuff we're working on." Phil's like, "I don't want to talk work. I actually just want to talk to see how you guys are and actually, like, you know, what are some games that you would like to work on, or like, what is something you want to create?" And I guess they are very taken back by it, shocked, like he didn't want to come out there and listen to work, want to go through PowerPoint, sit in meetings all day. He basically want to come out, meet everybody and say, "Hey, you know, nice to meet you. You know, what is it that you want to work on?" And stuff like that. And basically, he's always gone to these studios and said, "You know, you run your studio how you want it. Just let us know what you need. You know, what do you need from us?" And everything. And I feel like that's going to be a huge bonus when it comes to other games from Activision Blizzard, that finally we can get more than just Call of Duty and more than just World of Warcraft expansions. I mean, Diablo 4 did drop this year. I had played the beta. I probably will be picking it up down the road, but it just hasn't been... It's just not like the Diablo was back in first one for the PC and the second one. Those two are just great games. All right. Well, let's move on to the exciting part, what you guys are probably here for, are games that I thought, at least I personally would like to see a remaster or full-blown remake. In fact, actually, I probably think a remake would be a lot better, given with today's technology, and especially with the Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, computers, internet, they could do a whole lot with this. And a lot of these games I have played in the past. So, like, my first one is Hexen. I remember playing that back on the PC, and it was fun. It was definitely different. It was a first-person shooter, but used magic and everything. And so that was a very interesting game at the time, especially when first-person shooters were just all the rage coming out on the PC. And this game was even before the graphics engines games started coming out. It was all software based. So to me, if they actually can come up, I mean, it'd be fun if they drop a remaster on the Xbox just for fun. Like, hey, here you go, play the original game. But I think a full blown remake of it, because of that series, because I know Hexen's the first one. Heretic is the sequel, which I actually had a lot of fun playing. That one did require a 3D graphics card. And I can remember the third person view where I think it was like an elf or something. And I would run around and play it. And to me, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed Heretic. That too is another game I think could deserve a remake and everything. Prototype. So this is one game I do have. I've yet to play it, but I know a lot of people have redlined that Prototype is a great game. It is actually probably another hidden gem that I overlooked, but have picked up, and it's sitting in my game collection to play sometime. But I would like to see probably maybe a remaster, since it came out for the 360 at PS3. And then maybe even if the remaster does well enough, like, hey, bring out a sequel. You know, let's keep that franchise going. And that makes me think that I probably should check it out. I wonder if the thing's backwards compatible on the Xbox. Because I have it for the 360. Maybe it is. Anyway, Soldier of Fortune. This game, I actually had a lot of fun when it came out for the PC, because I thought the whole way that you took people out, like you could shoot them, you could take off their leg, you can take off their arm and everything. I just thought that addition to a game was really neat. Granted, it was very violent, but still, it was just really cool. You run up on a guy's shotgun, you shoot his leg off, and so his leg is blown off from the knee, or you shoot him and his arm takes off. And at the time, that was very unique for a game to actually have that kind of detail, where most first-person shooters, you shoot them, they just fall to the ground. There was no bodies exploding or anything like that, or limbs being blown off. That was kind of a thing that probably made Soldier of Fortune stand out compared to the other first-person shooters. And I can remember my friends and I would play online with each other and just go around, shoot each other and everything. So that was a fun game. I think that one deserves a remake, especially with, I mean, it doesn't have to really be like Call of Duty. It could be definitely different. They could do, have a lot of fun with that kind of franchise and everything. I mean, I'd be fine with a couple of remasters, because it came out a second one, and I believe they had an expansion too for the original one for the PC. If they want to remaster those things and bring them up to date and throw them on consoles and PC, I'd play them. I give them a good chance again. Okay, so this one right here, probably the one I'm really hoping for, and that's a StarCraft 3 real-time strategy game. Because the second one, I played through all three campaigns, loved it, thought it was really great, thought they did a really great job of building upon the original StarCraft into StarCraft 2, where it was more new stuff, more like upgrades and stuff like that. That was a cool addition. Like, it was just such a fun and great game, and I'm glad Blizzard finally came through. But then I think about, like, that game came out over like 10 years ago. We should have had another one by now, a third game by now, and yet we didn't, which kind of upsets me, because Blizzard, for a while there, man, any game they made was like gold. And now you look at them, they're like, oh, well, they were owned by Activision, so it's like, good luck having them try to come out with some good game that isn't something like World of Warcraft, where they're just monetizing everything. StarCraft 3 needs to come, because that game is still super popular, especially in Korea, but they can do so much if Microsoft says, hey, Blizzard, go ahead and make a StarCraft 3. Whatever resources you need from us, here you go. And let them run with it. And actually, if they could, they could probably make it for both PC and Xbox, because there have been games on the Xbox like Halo Wars and Age of Empires that have actually been able to work just fine with a controller. And now that Xbox is capable of using keyboard and mouse, just have that game come support with a keyboard and mouse. And heck, some people have that option too, which would even be better, because, you know, you just hook up your wireless mouse via Bluetooth and boom, you're playing the game on your Xbox and everything. You don't need to have a high-rig PC to play it. Normally when I play that game, I usually bounce around between Terran and Protoss. I never liked the Zerg. I just never liked their characters. I know that if you work them right, you can kick ass with them. But for the most part, I always enjoyed Terran and Protoss. I thought the Protoss were just awesome. and everything. And then I don't know if you know in it's Warcraft 3. That if you keep clicking on one of the mages or something multiple times, he says, "I do for Azul." for kind of like he's pretending he's with Protoss or something like that. It's a good Easter egg to find out. But also, here's something I could think that could be even possible, that they could actually now start coming up with spinoffs there within the StarCraft universe. I know back in like the late, early 2000s, they're going to come out with a StarCraft Ghost that was supposed to come out, I believe, for the original Xbox. And it was a third-person stealth game where you play as a female ghost on stealth missions. And they actually did have a playable demo out, which I believe some people have been able to find and get running. But something like that would be really cool. Have games that take place in the StarCraft universe that help build the overall lore and story of it. I mean, that's a vast universe. We don't have to follow... think about StarCraft 2. We followed one guy and everything, and his stories about dealing with the Zerg and Protoss and Karen and everything. But still, we can always have other stories, maybe of other Protoss or Zerg or something like that. Just, I think there's potential for them to create spinoffs that actually do well, and they don't have to be real-time strategies. They could probably be first-person shooters. They could be third-person action games. They could be, yeah, I think that would be great. And then, kind of piggybacking onto that, then would be Warcraft 4. And I really enjoyed Warcraft 3 for the PC. I thought that was a great game. The expansion was a lot of fun. I thought the graphics were going in the right direction, being 3D and everything. But I think a Warcraft 4 real-time strategy game is definitely worth its time to come out. And to me, Warcraft was actually, I think, the first one to get me started on real-time strategy. Because I can remember, this is how old I went. I think I was over at my cousin's house back mid-90s, early 90s. I think it was probably like Christmas or something. Was it Christmas? Anyway, it was some sort of holiday that the family's getting together at our cousin's house. And anyway, we're in the basement and there. Dad would build computers for fun. And so we had a computer that we'd game on. Well, they actually had a demo of the original Warcraft. And... no, it was Warcraft 2. And so because we were playing it, and I can remember with the PM be like, "Yes, me lord. All right. Yes, me lord." And I just thought that was the funniest thing. And so I was playing that demo. And I mean, it's pretty easy. You just build like a couple knights, take out a couple troll berserkers, and it's done. But I played the demo multiple times to the point where I cleared up all the resources, cut down all the trees, and did everything before the game ended, because it was very quick. But I can remember when that game came out, I picked up a copy, my cousin picked up a copy, I had friends pick up that copy, and we would be playing not only the campaign, but we'd jump online and play with each other, and just same thing we did with like the original StarCraft. I mean, Blizzard had games that just kicked ass, and I just wish they would go back to that, not... And now that they're under Microsoft, I really hope that this breathes a new fresh air for them, this gives them the creative freedom, the shackles are off, and they can now just start making great games again. That aren't monetized. That's like, we're going to tell a story. We're going to tell a great game. Here it is. Have fun. Like they did back in the day. One thing that I've also kind of argued why this is actually better is the fact that the creative freedom that all these studios have now, because if you're a Call of Duty fan or anything, you look at all Activision studios, they basically were Call of Duty support studios. You had Raven, High Noon, Activision Shanghai, like all these different companies, like Toys for Bob, I think it was, made games that came out that were good games to play with. Then they suddenly got forced to basically be Call of Duty support. That's how Activision was able to come out season so quickly, how they were come out with games so quickly, because they had like 8 or 9 studios working on that one game and everything. But those studios have enough talent that they could come up with their own games that are unique and original and put it out there. I think some of these people who work at these studios don't want to just be like, "Oh, I work on Call of Duty. I'm a support. You know, I create the multiplayer maps or something like that." They want to be able to do more. And Microsoft, I believe, will be able to give them that creative freedom and say, "Hey, what games have you wanted to be able to make or want to make?" And Microsoft is willing to give them go on and take a chance. There have been plenty of games that have come out on Microsoft's publishing and banner that are unique and different. Some are hits, like Sea of Thieves. Other ones, like Redfall, kind of like, ugh. But still, Microsoft is willing to take that chance to see what happens, and who knows, you never... And sometimes those ones that come out and they actually are a hit, like Hi-Fi Rush, which was a shadow drop and everybody loved it. It did very well. And I thought that game was a lot of fun. I still need to beat it, but just the way it looks, it plays, and just the whole all-around feel of the game is just great. Those are games that we would like to see. Not your usual AAA first-person shooter Call of Duties or your AAA God of War games, which is always fun to play. I always look forward to, but give us a few more AA games or anything like that. Like, give us a new Spyro game. Give us a new Crash Bandicoot game. I know you already did with 4, but still, I would love a new Guitar Hero would come out. And I know that'll be challenging with the whole licensing and peripherals. Like, what would you do? Come out with wireless guitars and stuff like that. But still, if they can figure out how to come back with a new Guitar Hero game, that would be amazing and everything. And so, well, I think that's pretty much... Actually, I still got a little bit more of mead left. So I know, like I mentioned earlier, everybody's thinking that we've beaten this story to a dead horse. And I'm looking forward to the future of what Microsoft has to do with Activision Blizzard. I know that the Game Pass, I know a lot of people are like, hey, when the games are showing the Game Pass, I predict, even though they keep saying like the first quarter of 23, I think Microsoft's going to do a surprise around in December by Christmas, maybe have a few already drop. Kind of like, surprise, here's a bunch of Activision games now that are on Game Pass. I can see them doing that as a surprise, but if they don't, then I can see by March more Activision games are going to start dropping on Game Pass. And hopefully, they have a good back catalog they can start throwing on there. I mean, crap, like I said, they can throw all the previous Call of Duty games in there. They can throw in all the previous... I wonder if they can throw in, like the Spyros, the Crash Bandicoots, all that stuff. I mean, yeah, no, there's a lot of games that Activision has. That would just be so awesome to have. But, all right, I think that's enough of my opinion for today. You know, let me know your thoughts. I'm curious to see some people who support it, but at the same time, I also like to hear people who don't support it and your reasons why you think that this would be a bad idea and everything. And I mean, the only thing I can think of is, will Microsoft monopolize the whole Activision Blizzard catalog in terms of keeping it exclusive? No. But let me know your thoughts on why it will not work, or what could be the negative effect of this acquisition now that it's done on the gaming industry. Now, granted, that does kind of force Sony to kind of come up with more creative stuff, even though they already are good at being creative with their games. But now I think, now that Activision Blizzard is under Microsoft, Microsoft has more tricks in their hat that they can pull out now and stuff like that. They have more studios now to help with game develop, which means they can probably make games faster if they need to with the support. But more first-party games can start pumping out each year. I think Phil said he wants to at least start 4 first-party games every year from them. So basically 1 each quarter. But yeah, so that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening to my podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And tell your friends, like these podcasts. So my gaming schedule has been kind of hectic. I am getting through some newer games, and we'll be working on talking about them here soon. I feel like it's about time I talked with more of a new game to kind of know that I am playing retro, I am playing new and everything. So, but if you'd like to contact me, you can always email me at 117gamingsquadron@gmail.com. Give me suggestions, thoughts, advice, opinions on games, gaming news, yeah, anything gaming related, or just want to drop a line saying how great I'm doing, whatever, words of advice, I'd appreciate it. But yeah, hope everybody's doing well, had a good holiday, drink some good alcohol, played some good games, and I'll talk to you later. Cheers.